Editor's note, a retired judge and author, Norman Douglas was the Crown attorney who prosecuted one of the most infamous crimes in Sault Ste. Marie history, the murder of 14-year-old Patrizia Mastroianni inside a Cora Collegiate bathroom in 1987. He attended yesterday's parole hearing as an observer in support of Mastroianni's family. His column below contains graphic details that may disturb some readers. Sault Ste. Marie, three people at the Joyceville Correctional Center asked the parole board for some relief yesterday. Only one got his wish. Russell Colwell joyfully walked the few steps back to his apartment. The other two, Carmela Rosnick and Tiziana Palumbo, took a long, sad trip by cab, train and plane back to Sault Ste. Marie. The hearing room could not have accommodated more than the 13 people present. I was one of them. So was the killer, who 37 years ago had brutally knifed to death, while masturbating on, a 14-year-old grade 9 student who simply had gone into the school washroom at the wrong time. I sat 3 feet behind him, within striking distance, you might say. But fulfilling that urge would not have been appropriate. I was the Crown attorney who had prosecuted him. And at the end of the 90 minutes that the hearing took, I was left with the feeling that I had fallen down a rabbit hole and entered a strange world. I was startled. There was virtually no security. The atmosphere was relaxed, everyone was nice. There were two parole board members who would make the decision. One spoke to Colwell like a kindly grandfather. The other said little, but she seemed nice, too. Russell's parole officer and his lawyer were both pleasant. The regional communications officer was there to kindly assist the family victims, and she was genuinely caring. Even the unarmed correctional officer sitting in the corner smiled often. It was the land of Nice. That's why four of us didn't fit. Our life sentence, Sault family braces for long fight to keep schoolgirl killer behind bars. I watched Colwell the whole time. He is 56, slight build, full head of hair trimmed neatly, soft-spoken, meek-looking. For those of you old enough to remember another bathroom knifing, think Anthony Perkins, Norman Bates. I listened carefully to everything he said. I thought it was an act. And neither Carmela nor Tiziana were nice. When Carmela stood to read her heart-wrenching statement, she deliberately took 2 steps to be directly beside Colwell. Grandfather asked her to step back. She did, but she gave no quarter in her remarks to the man who killed her little sister, Patrizia Mastroianni. And Tiziana let him have it too. They are warriors. This is the 4th time they have had to endure his applications for parole, but there is no quit in either of them. They pleaded with the board not to add to their anguish by letting Colwell off the prison grounds even for the escorted day pass he was seeking. The only solace they have in this nightmare is the knowledge that he will never be free again, just as they are never free from their sentence. The board members took about 6 minutes to deliberate before calling us all back in to announce their decision. And they did not even explain it. Simply, after thanking everyone for their participation, Colwell will be allowed off the prison grounds for a 1-day escorted pass to spend the day in Kingston. That ends the hearing. Thank you all for coming. I tried to encourage the sisters that they should not feel defeated. They did everything they could. I told them that 2 worlds collided. Their world, where their pain and the enormity of the crime should itself be enough to keep Colwell behind bars, and the parole board world, where Colwell should be given gradual reintegration into the community. Opinion. For schoolgirl killer, parole should never be a possibility. Here is what happened, and why. The criteria used in decision-making for escorted temporary absences has 4 parts. A. The inmate will not, by reoffending, present an undue risk to society. B. It is desirable for the inmate to be absent from the penitentiary for rehabilitative purposes or compassionate reasons. C. The inmate's behavior while under sentence does not preclude authorizing the absence. D. A structured plan for the absence has been prepared. Note particularly the language, undue risk, and it is desirable. And note that none of the criteria include the victim's heartache or the horrific nature of the crime committed. So naturally the damage done to the whole family and their suffering, the victim statements read into the record, really had no impact on the mandate of the board. It is desirable, begs the question, desirable for whom? The hearing presupposes that the offender should be gradually rehabilitated back into the community. The cards were stacked against the two sisters from the beginning. But here is the Achilles heel of the parole system. Here is where the sisters have hope. Undue risk. The duty of the board is to consider whether Colwell is a risk to the community. And his background, his behavior, and the test scores in his file, in my view at least, show the board was wrong on Thursday. And if enough people agree, then the Mastroianni family still has hope. He has been tested by psychologists and psychiatrists throughout his prison term. The results? 1. He is a low to moderate risk of reoffending. 2. His SIR, statistical information on recidivism, score indicates that he fits the category where 4 out of 5 offenders will not commit an indictable, serious, offense after release. The board used those results to conclude that Colwell, therefore, is a good bet not to reoffend. My response is, what? His crime was that of a sexual deviant, a predator, a stalker, a premeditated merciless psychopath. The bar for him, if there is to be any slim chance of parole, should be no risk to reoffend, and he should be in a category of 5 out of 5 offenders. Because who loses if the board bets wrong? Ask the family of Celia Roigrock, the 21-year-old young woman murdered by another infamous saltite, Alan Sweeney, released on parole for a murder 10 years earlier as a safe bet. The common sense world that clashed with the rabbit hole world on Thursday would change the word undue risk to no risk. And it wouldn't consider an 80% chance of not reoffending a safe bet. And what of his history while serving his sentence? His alarming treatment of female staff. Locking himself in a women's washroom, thereby losing his cleaner's job. These are a few of those red flags in his file. I was allowed to be at the hearing this week as a support person to the victims Carmela and Tiziana. I therefore was an observer. Observers are not allowed to speak. But I can speak through my computer now that I am home from a very long drive. And I can speak through the good folks at Sue today.